This edition of the FitCast is brought to you by XFMuscle.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there, and the hands-down best branched-chain amino acid supplement, ICE. You can check them out at XFMuscle.com. And by Quest Protein Bars. Quest Protein Bars are the only bars that aren't just candy in disguise. 20 grams of protein, only 4 grams of non-fiber carbs, no sugar or sugar alcohols used, no junk food of any kind, and they are delicious. You can get 2 free bars by going to questproteinbar.com/fitcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 207. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is, of course, Dr. Jonathan Fass. John, how you doing?
Are you ready?
Ready. Hi, everybody.
And we also have the beautiful and brilliant Lee Peel. See, John, now she gets it.
Oh.
That's how we roll. What's up, Lee?
How we roll.
Sup. Let's just keep rolling.
All right, we have a great show lined up for you this week. The first thing that we're going to quickly talk about is a format change. What? So we obviously did something a little bit different for the last 2 episodes. I think what we're going to kind of agree on, and by agree on, I emailed everyone and kind of, you know,
told you,
and no one disagreed. So
with the
format change, we're basically going to be doing an episode that's going to be like this week, where we do more mailbag stuff and we kind of go all over the place in terms of the topics. And then what we're going to do is, you know, then 2 or 3 episodes where we go deep into one topic. And we're totally open if you have suggestions for an in-depth discussion that would last for a whole episode, or for multiple episodes. We have an idea of what we're going to be doing for the next couple weeks, but if you do have something that you would like to have us discuss, just, you know, you can always send it to questions@thefitcast.com and just put FitCast discussion topic in the subject line. That would be greatly appreciated. So we kind of know what it's all about. But how do you guys feel about that?
Are you asking us or the audience? Because the audience can't respond right now. Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I mean, people seem to enjoy the different format, but we also want to, get into the mailbag stuff. And what John suggested along with that is more listener interaction in terms of follow-up questions when it comes to the podcasts that we do that are those in-depth discussions. So that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't work, we'll change it back. If we run out of things to talk about,
We'll burn it down.
There'll be no arson. So
deeply excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we ended up recording a FitCast supplement yesterday.
Big fan of depth.
And also, I want to quickly mention that for the supplement, we did have John on. He came on and talked about
just wrecked it, yo. Just wrecked it.
Yeah, special guest, John Fass.
No doubt.
But Roger and I talked about a wide range of things. And I think, John, it was cool that we talked to John about what his training's been like since he's training with minimal equipment, or not so much in terms of the weights department, because you don't have, 150-pound dumbbells and 100-pound plates.
They peak out at 90.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Like curls?
Right. Right. Yo, like, I'll do some wrist curls with that.
Wrist curls?
I'll do like wrist curls with that, yo.
Just like hold the dumbbell in your teeth and, you know, as long as you can.
And gnaw at it like a dog.
Yep. So you can check out the supplement. It will be coming midweek, and we'll be also recording another supplement this upcoming weekend with all the pack stuff going on. It's going to be a 4-person podcast. That's right. We're going to do it. So that will be fun. It will probably have nothing to do with fitness. So don't turn into the supplement next week, although this episode 2 will have fitness stuff involved. And for the off topic, we talked a lot about laser discs as well as this week on this off topic, which I would recommend not listening to again in front of your kids. It's not going to be an episode that is a section that's going to be censored.
Except for all of you that have tuned in going, oh, wow, last week was so funny. Not this week.
Sorry about that.
No.
And Lee, can we talk about that thing?
Which thing?
The thing that involves you the most.
That thing. Yeah, sure. We can talk about that thing. Yeah, I am doing the relaunch of the Body Bites cookbooks. And basically, in short, it is just the cookbooks now. There's no written material in it, and you can buy them all individually. You do not have to be members, or you can buy them as packages and save some money, or you can buy them as a member, and members get a special discount on all of them. So there is certainly something for everyone. There's everything from low-carb cookbooks, protein powder cookbooks, vegetarian cookbooks, slow cooker cookbooks, five ingredients cookbooks, quick and easy cookbooks, and it's sky's the limit. All of them have calories, grams, macronutrient measurements, and there's at least 25 recipes to each one, sometimes more, and there's pictures to most of the recipes. So it's very cool.
And I don't want to like give away too much, but for like a bonus, it does have my recipe for English peas.
Just going to run that into the ground, huh, John?
Of course I am.
Just keep riding it. Just keep riding it.
Of course I am.
Okay.
The English peas make wonderful refeed day meals.
Mm.
Peri-workout nutrition. Excellent. English peas.
Big shout out to Rocky for showing me that English peas website.
I think there should be an English pea YouTube song.
Hmm.
I'm just throwing it out there.
There was some rhymes in some of the comments.
I'm just serious. I think it would make an amazing.
There were some great rhymes.
But anyway, that's what's happening. It's going to be open on Monday, and then I'm doing some blog posts and random email stuff about it throughout the week. So yeah,
love it.
Low key, but that's what's up. Mm-hmm.
And one thing, we're going to get into the mailbag very shortly. We got a huge bag this week. Just want to quickly mention, in terms of like the mailbag questions that we get in, you can always send them to questions@theficass.com, like I mentioned before. But try to condense your questions as much as possible because, we love getting the emails, but we can't read a 500-word email on the air. It just is a little bit too long.
And our reading comprehension is not that good.
Mm.
Well, no, it's not even that.
It was a joke.
We have in the past, we've asked you to be detailed, but try to, pick and choose what you're going to be descriptive about. And hopefully...
Don't be afraid to bullet point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Seriously, don't be afraid to bullet point and just be very methodical about it. Just say this, help. Because they'll get answered faster.
My 10th grade English teacher, Mr. Kavanaugh, would not be happy with that. But for these purposes, we're cool with it.
Yeah.
And especially if English is your second language, bullet points. No problem with that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear a musical clip from Judge Dredd. And then we're going to do it in the mailbag. So just stick around.
Holy crud. He's a sitting duck out there.
He knows what he's doing.
I am the law. Drop your weapon. These bugs are under arrest.
All right, we're here for the mailbag. We're going to go to the first question that comes from Nev. Hi, Kevin. Been a FitCast listener for about 18 months now, over which period I've decided to become a personal trainer, leaving the world of finance behind in a few months' time. This was influenced by initially reading Eric Cressy and Tony Gentilcore's blog, then finding the FitCast and checking out the work of other great fitness professionals such as Alan Cosgrove, John Berardi, Tom Venuto, Dan John, Nick Tuminello, Craig Ballantyne, Mike Boyle, etc. I don't have a question as such, but more of an unusual request. I'm based in London, but I'm heading out to Australia for a month in March and was thinking it would be great to hook up with some trainers out there to see how they work before coming back to London and entering the industry. I'll be visiting Perth, Melbourne, and Sydney. So if you could give a shout out and ask any people if they have any have some spare time to share their knowledge, that would be fantastic. Keep up the excellent work, and my next trip will hopefully be to the U.S. Many thanks, Nev. P.S. Happy if you give out my email address for people to contact me. So we do have a very strong following in Australia. I think we have like 30% or like 31% of the Australian population subscribes to us on iTunes. so that would be great for you, Nev. The email that you can contact him at is nevjones@yahoo.com. So just nevjones@yahoo.com. And I want you guys to represent because I've been in contact with a lot of our Australian listeners. So I would like you guys to welcome him. Have him do some trap bar deadlifts. And take them to the beach and grill some shrimp and show them what a real knife looks like, all right? Because that guy died and no one else can. People need to show that actor died, right? So
no.
What are we talking
did
about?
Did he? No.
I think he's dead. No.
Is he dead?
This is a knife.
Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah, that guy.
Paul Hogan's not dead.
You're thinking of Paul Hogan. You're thinking of the Crocodile dead. Hunter.
Same guy.
Yeah, that. Right.
Oh,
two,
God.
That was a crocodile fail, my friend.
Dad, thank you. That's a that's a fail.
John, you want to get that next question for us from Brenton and pronounce sure. his last name?
No. Hey, Kevin. I had a question about the 531 program. I noticed a lot of people are using the... You damn right, that's for you, baby. I noticed a lot of people are using the program, but wasn't sure if it was actually enough volume to be effective. Eric Cressy has written extensively on this and states that for an intermediate to get strong, he would need a certain amount of volume at over 85% one rep max. Advanced would need volume at or above 90% one rep max. The 531 program only works up to one set at these percentages. Just wondering your opinion. Thanks, Brenton.
I think that's a good question. And it's an interesting discussion because I think a lot of strength coaches or trainers or what have you, there tends to be different opinions on this throughout the industry. And what Eric is talking about, and you'll see it if you like look at his writing, is maximal strength, hence his book title. But again, this is one of those questions where a little bit more of a history in terms of how long you've been training would help a little bit, and what your current training regimen looks like. But when we look at it in terms of how much volume or how many reps we need to have over 90% or over 85%, you're going to be doing those in the 531 program, and you're going to be doing plenty of volume, probably not as much volume. You might do a couple reps over 90% every week, maybe 5 or 6. But with the 531 program, it is kind of it's a different setup than doing something like Eric would put together, where it would be more supersets. You would do your main lift, which would have between 3 and maybe 6 reps. With what Jim is doing, you're going to be doing your main lift, which will have sets of either 5, 3, or 1. And with that single rep, you're actually working up to that one rep, and you're doing a percentage of your perceived one rep max to get the percentages that you're going to use for that five rep set, three rep set, and that single. So you're actually going to be doing less than what you would normally do for that many reps. The reason being that you're doing that is with that final set, you your goal is to do as many reps as possible. So you're going to do a set of five, another set of five, and then you're going to do as many reps of five with the weight or the percentage that you have for that set. You know, I will say this. Both programs are going to work. The effectiveness is going to be dependent on partially your training history and how you respond to volume. You know, one of the things that we ended up talking about, John, you can talk a little bit about this, and it's a little bit of a preview, is that we talked about Chad Waterbury's stuff and how his programs tend to be very heavy on volume. And with the crowd that he's usually talking to tends to be a new lifter or someone that, hasn't had a very regimented program. Those reps are gonna help quite a bit in terms of increasing his strength, and obviously with a lot of his stuff, it's hypertrophy. But you know, when you look at which program is better, you know, Brendan, I would say, you know, pick whatever is going to work into your schedule. I find the 5-3-1 program gets you in and out really quickly. You know, it might take you about 45 minutes to do the whole program for that day. With maximal strength, it might be like 60 minutes. Eric also puts a lot of corrective work into his programs. If you're looking at his book, Maximal Strength, or his newest program, and I think that is fantastic, and I think a lot of people do need it. So if you want to cover all your bases a little bit more, I might look at some of Eric's stuff. The 5-3-1 program, I think, is something that's a little bit more for someone that's trained for at least a year, and definitely knows their way around those main lifts. Which, again, you know, you're talking about your bench, your bench press, your deadlift, your squat, and you know, depending on what you're going to use for that last lift. If you don't have shoulder problems, it's going to be a military press. So, again, take all that info, you know, for what you will, and you know, make a decision and give yourself a couple months on the program, whoever's program that you choose, and see how your body reacts to it. Make sure you pay attention, and if you find that, you know, you do a certain program and your body doesn't respond to it, or you find you break down too easily with it, you might have to decrease the volume. Like, a lot of the things that you need to keep in mind. Yeah, and the best thing I can say is probably listen to your body and just kind of watch the effects that you get, whether it be positive or negative. But both great programs, both, you know, very smart coaches, and you're not going to really, you know, find yourself doing a bad program either way. Does anyone else have any input?
No, I thought that was pretty much nailed it. I mean, it's... You know, it is a matter of experience, and ultimately it's specificity. You get good at what you're training. If your goal is to be as strong as you possibly could get in a single lift, then you know what Eric is saying is absolutely true. I think the 5-3-1 is a little bit more of a mixed bag of an approach to get a little bit more hypertrophy as well as strength. It's not specific to one goal. It's kind of blending that a little bit, and you're definitely going to get strong on both types of programs. You're definitely going to get bigger muscle wise on both types of programs, and then it ultimately becomes what's your biggest goal. You know, do you want to get as strong as possible, or do you want a little bit more range in your abilities? Because if you're taking a lot of lifts at that, you know, 90% or above, then you are going to be sacrificing possibly some ability for muscle endurance, and that's fine if that's not your goal. If it is your goal, then you'll have to something like a 5-3-1 or even, you know, a 10-5-1, whatever. That would be a little bit more helpful to those types of goals. So it's just whatever you're looking for.
Let's go on to the next question. John, you want to ask that one to Lee?
I could certainly ask that one to Lee. Lee, how would you like me to ask it?
In your sexy voice.
Okay.
I will mute you, John.
Okay.
And I will just drop you from the call.
You asked me to ask Lee the question. It was her request.
You didn't specify.
Right.
Can you do it? Fine. If you're going to do it, can you do it as Neil Diamond? And then I'm cool with it. Then I'm cool with it.
I haven't heard Neil Diamond in a really long time.
Come on.
I don't think I can do that
just
voice.
You're going to go, ooh. Don't get a little constipation going.
So it'd be like, hello, team. Oh! Love the podcast. I guess my question is one for Lee. While listening to the new supplement podcast, I noticed that Kevin grabbed the Coke Zero to quench his thirst. Over the last year, I too have been grabbing many Coke Zeros and the odd real Coke to quench my thirst. I've never been into diet soda until Coke Zero came out, mainly due to the fact that diet Coke tastes nothing like the real deal, but Coke Zero tastes pretty damn close. My question is whether drinking Coke Zero with all the fake sweeteners chemicals is just a different kind of bad than having the high fructose corn syrup version. I was going to say like real Coke has all kinds of crap too. I'm only drinking one or two cans of Coke Zero a day. If I had my way, I'd drink full fat Coke with every meal.
That's some typo.
don't you make assumptions. I drink black tea and coffee without sugar or milk, but for some reason I'm a sucker for sweet, cold, fizzy drinks.
Fizzy drinks. He's from London.
Fizzy drinks. Thanks, guys. Matt.
Well, that was just a great commercial for Diet Coke Zero.
Yeah, really?
I can't even tell the difference.
you should be getting paid for that, Kevin.
I am getting paid. What are you talking about? You see that Coke machine?
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Well, let's see. What angles can we approach this from then? We'll approach it from health and then weight gain, because those are usually the two general areas that people like to discuss the artificial sweetener thing. So we'll look at health first. As far as health is concerned, the Coke Zero uses aspartame as its artificial sweetener ingredient. It's under a different name, but that's what it's derived from. It's the very big staple of artificial sweetener drinks for diet drinks and whatnot. These days, it's either some sort of Splenda derivative or some sort of aspartame a derivative. So that's generally what you're going to find. It has been exhaustively researched. It's been looked at in humans. It's been looked at in rats. And as of right now, the only kind of health issues that we find with humans are when they're in coordination with correlation or epidemiology studies, which basically means that they're looking at a large group of people or a lot of same types of people, but in subsectors. So, for example, women who are obese within the age range of 35 to 45 have these health problems, and they all have this common factor in between them. Do these women all drink Diet Coke or artificial sweetener from Equal or Sweet and Low, etc.? Do these women also have health issues? Do they have cancer? Do they have obesity, etc.? So on and so forth. That's how those studies usually work. And they do these studies. They're not useless studies in the sense of direction, but they're certainly not causation. And what that means that it's not as if that they put a bunch of people in the lab, gave them a bunch of this substance, and then they got cancer, because you can't do that, at least not legally. And so what they do is they look at things and they say, okay, we're going to take a big bunch of people and we're going to see if there's this common denominator, if there's any factors in it. They do the same thing with milk or with meat or anything else like that. And they've done that with this. And sometimes they find stuff in these kind of things, and sometimes they don't find links. So you can't really take that as meaning anything. So when people say, "Oh, it causes cancer," you can't say that. It's a bold and incorrect statement. It certainly has not been proven by research, so you can't really look at it in that manner. The things that have more causation research is when they've done extreme things to rats. Extreme dosages, extremely high amounts, therefore leading to extreme problems. It is a chemical, and rats also aren't humans. You have to take that in consideration. So you can't really say that would happen in the same result as it would to humans, and you also have to take into account the dosages. So from a health effect, does it look to be that amount of Diet Coke is going to hurt you if you're eating a generally healthy diet with your fruits and vegetables and your meats and et cetera? Is it going to cause you a problem? Chances are not. It doesn't really show anything in small amounts, and the body metabolizes that chemical pretty clearly from what we have seen. It metabolizes and clears it out just fine in low amounts. It doesn't seem to cause a problem. But you know, if you want to be on the safe side, you can always say, no, I'm not going to do it just because. So from that aspect, in small amounts, it doesn't seem to really be that much of an issue. From an irritation standpoint or sensitivity standpoint, to say that it can't irritate or be sensitive to anybody is kind of silly. You can be sensitive or irritated by anything, and so you certainly could be by a man-made chemical like this, and certain people probably are going to find it to aggravate or irritate them on a certain level. Probably a small percentage of the population, but still, it's there. And anecdotal or not, placebo or not, to people, some people don't agree with it, and I think that you would know if you're one of them. But if it doesn't seem to bother you, then chances are it doesn't irritate. But throwing that out. So then there's the aspect which I think is a little bit more interesting, is the weight gain or psychological effects of taking in artificial drinks. And I realize mm-hmm. that I'm going into a bit of a lot here, but I figure why not with the questions. It's only up to the answer anyway. From a psychological standpoint, there's been a lot of research, one in particular that I think people enjoy reading. It's called Gain Weight by Going on a Diet, Artificial Sweeteners, and the Neurobiology of Sugar Cravings. And it's a study that came out in 2010. It's a review, and it's not 100% perfect. I think they jumped to some conclusions and do a tad bit of cherry picking. But overall, I think that it does provide an interesting look at how we see artificial sweeteners in a physiological sense when we take them in, how it changes our cravings, how it decreases our satiation, or will increase our sweetness cravings for things when we drink it. Basically, and the short of it, is that you can look at it as artificial sweeteners having somewhat of the telephone effect or a gateway effect for you desiring to eat more foods. Some people drink artificial sweeteners and they might decide that they're hungrier or they want to eat something else because it offsets a trend and it can jumpstart something for them. So for some people, keeping artificial sweeteners in their diet can in some ways lead to weight gain or having a harder time losing weight if they can't control the cravings or if they can't subdue the taste bud sensation that they get from artificial sweeteners. So you can look at it in that sense and say, oh, well, artificial sweeteners cause weight gain. But they don't technically cause weight gain in the sense of energy balance. And so people that say that don't really know what they're discussing in that sense and are making very outrageous observations. So if you look at it in a sense of psychology and how you look at food and how food induces cravings and so on and so forth, you can certainly see how there can be a gateway effect with artificial sweeteners. But in the sense of a technicality, does it cause anything to happen with your hormones? Not really. There's been some look at insulin raises, but sometimes they use artificial sweeteners that have dextrose mixed in them, which is an actual sugar. It's just in smaller amounts. And there can be slight changes in neurological reactions when artificial sweeteners are introduced in. Stuff like that, but it's not on any sort of large level. In the end, I know it's a long way of getting around to it, but is a Diet Coke here or there going to kill you, or a diet drink here or there going to hurt you and harm you? I don't want to say absolutely no, because that would be incorrect, but I would say very not likely, and that I wouldn't worry about it if you don't seem to have any initial allergic or sensitivity reactions to it, and you don't feel like that it's hindering your weight loss I certainly would avoid the kind of websites that talk about things are going to kill you or that it's toxic and poison and you're, you know, you're going to die. And the people that make very extreme, outrageous claims to make, there's logical claims to make against it. And there certainly is more gateway effects with how it can affect you. But we're not seeing in research to where drinking it will actually hurt you on any sort of small level. I'm going to end it there, but that's what the research kind of says. And, I personally am a fan of keeping those things in moderation for a variety of reasons. One of the most being that I believe in calories that you consume or things that you consume, having the calories and owning them as much as possible and keeping it in moderation, small amounts. So yes, that's all.
I liked that. I'm glad you brought up the, some of that research on the weight gain, even though it's like zero calorie and the effect physiologically. And, you know, like you said, it's all basically correlational. So you can't prove this stuff. But sometimes it's like where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, it's not, you know, so I mean, I thought that was kind of awesome. But
yeah, I mean, there's interesting research when you get deep into it about salivation. Taste buds and how things are affected. I mean, you can go really, even enzyme production increases and stuff like that. So you can go really deep into it and gastrointestinal and tract things and stuff like that. But the short of it is that I definitely think there can be a connective base to it, but in an energy balance sense, you know, and that's where people, they try and throw the energy balance sense. Oh, you gain fat in regardless of calories. And it blows their theories out of the water because they're using lackluster evidence to discuss something that really does have some boundaries and some teeth to it, Sheena.
But yeah. Anyway. I think if you try to cheat the system too much, something's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, and there's carbonic acid issues and there's, you know, all kinds of, so I don't know. Luckily I don't like soda personally, so I never drink it. But, and anytime I do, I'm like, wow, I just don't like this. But,
one piece of advice that I'll give you, Matt, is one of the reasons why I love Japan so much is that they have fantastic products. One of them being Itoen is a green tea company in Japan, and they actually sell like real Japanese green tea bottled up, and you chill it and you can drink it chilled, clearly. And you can pick it up on Amazon, and I don't know if you can get it in the UK, but for the American listeners and the people in the United States, you can pick up a case of 12 for like $15 on Amazon, and try to replace a Diet Coke with one of those green teas, and trust me, you'll benefit from it, and they taste pretty good, and the Itoen products are fantastic. So definitely would highly recommend those. People pick those up. I'm actually drinking one right now.
If you're looking for carbonated beverages, because I'm hit and miss with them. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. I don't drink any right now because it's a different story. But there's a brand called Zevia. And granted, we haven't totally researched stevia or stevia, however you want to call it. But we haven't researched it into a large level. But I'm convinced that it's more of the... I kind of look at it like mint a little bit. Look at it in a similar aspect of mint. I don't know why, but everything that I see about it seems to be pretty on the up and up. I don't see anything that's any glaring red flags. But it's a carbonated soda that's made with it. You can get it off on Amazon. You can find it at local health food stores. It's a diet soda. It's calorie free, and it seems to have a little less junk, I guess.
What is it called again?
It's called Zevia. I think it's Zevia or Zevia, depending on how you pronounce the stevia or stevia. But it's Z-E-V-I-A, and they have all different kind of flavors: root beer, like Sprites, ginger ales, Cokes, orange sodas.
Oh, they sell these in Whole Foods too.
Most health food stores have them, and they're hit and miss with the flavors, like most anything else. The Sprite-ish one is really good, and I hear the ginger ale one's pretty good too. And you can get them off Amazon in cases, or you can get them locally. They're a little expensive, of course, but just throwing that out there for people that are looking for a bit of an alternative to the diet sodas that have a different kind of sugar ingredient into them.
I'll try some of that root beer and give it a shot. All right, Lee, do you want to ask the question from Mark Roberts to Dr. Jonathan Fass?
Wow. Okay, I will. If you give me a second to reopen the doc, because I closed it to look for the thing. All right. All right. So I am doing Mark Roberts. Got it. Okay. Love the show. Thanks so much to you, John, and Lee for all the time and effort you put in to educate and entertain us. I have a question about my daughter, Catherine. She has very tight hamstrings. She can... Sorry. My page is scrolling. She can get 60 or less of elevation in a lying single leg raise. What is so strange is that in all the other aspects, she tends towards hypermobility. For example, she can put her knees on the floor in the seated adductor stretch. And then the Baton scoring system for hypermobility, she scores an 8 out of 9. She scores 0 for touching her toes because of her tight hammies. I have checked the flexibility of her hips and her calves, and there doesn't appear to be a problem there. So it seems very weird that her hamstrings are so tight. I just wondered if you, John, or Lee had encountered anyone like her before, and if so, do you have any idea what the cause of this would be? Do you think it would be a good idea to intensively stretch her hamstrings? And if so, what are the exercises and what would you suggest? Here's some general background info. Catherine is 5'9", weighs 117 pounds. She doesn't routinely exercise. She feels that she's bad at sports. I'm trying to encourage her to do some exercise. I recently bought a TRX. She enjoys that. P.S. You mentioned you're coming to the UK on one of the supplement shoes. Where are you planning to visit and what do you plan to do here? All the best, Mark Roberts.
Just as an aside, the Baton scale is something that we use to determine if someone actually has hypermobility. So you need to score 5 or more on that 9-point scale. So if she's an 8, then she's absolutely hypermobile. So you get – and so this is just for general information. You get a point each for getting the fifth finger, the pinky, to 90 degrees. Bending backwards, you get a point for each of the same thing with the thumb. If you can hit the thumb back to the flexor surface, so you can basically touch your thumbs to your forearm, and then you get a 1 point for your elbow hyperextension. So if you can go past about 10 degrees, then that would be considered a point. And then you get hyperextension, same thing with the knee, past 10 degrees, and then you'd get for each knee, and then 1 point if you with your ability to put your palms on the floor. And I've actually done that on patients before that were coming in with certain issues. I've done the Baton scale, so it's a very quick and easy thing to do. Why would her hamstrings be tight? Well, you gave us a nice bit of information there saying that she really doesn't like to exercise. And at 5'9 and 117, she's certainly thin. You know, she doesn't appear to be overweight in any sense. So my best guess would be that she's actually – the reason her hamstrings are tight is probably because she's not strong enough. So what's going to end up happening is this is the idea where we get into the idea of corrective exercise. The last thing that you necessarily want to do here is to stretch her hamstrings. Range of motion in and of itself is not problematic unless it is. We get more concerned about range of motion when it's asymmetric. So if one hamstring was at, 60 degrees and the other was 90, then you'd say this is a problem because that's going to affect the way that you move overall. But if both hamstrings are at getting around 60 degrees of hip flexion, then at least in theory, the person is going to be moving equally reduced in both sides, and that's not as big of a problem as wearing one side versus the other. The hamstrings are likely to be tight if they're being overused, and they could be overused because the glutes aren't working properly in hip extension. Movement changes in movement. Maybe there's more knee flexion and walking than there should be, or maybe there's, you know, like I said, usually it boils down to the glutes, but there can be other things too. So what you're feeling is tightness is just a description. It's a resistance to force applied. So it doesn't mean that the muscle is actually short specifically. It can just mean that the muscle has a great deal of resistance to stretch. And you'll find the same thing if you flex your elbow, you make a biceps pose. That's also resistant to stretch, but that doesn't mean that you should stretch your biceps out. It just means you have to relax them. So in the case of the hamstrings, it's much, much, much more likely that if you're able to build the muscles around the hip, and even possibly calves as well, but certainly the hip muscles, get her hips stronger. Possibly from that, you would change some of the movement quality. Maybe she'd walk a little better. Maybe, you know, take stairs a little better, sit up and down from a chair a little better, and use the entire strength of her hip girdle and not just the hamstrings. Then the hamstrings relax by nature, by reflex, because they no longer have to do as much work all the time. The other side of it, though, is that because she seems to have this hypermobility, you can also get muscles that are going to be tighter. They're going to be turned on more because they're trying to protect the joint from range of motion. So if you have laxity at a joint, and this is perceived by the body, it's not always, but if the body perceives laxity or joint mobility that's greater than it wants it to be, you've got the muscles that basically stiffen around the joint. And that's what muscles do. That's how they protect us from injury. So if she's got too much mobility at the hips, there may be a response by the body to tighten things up to try to stop that mobility, and then you may see that when you actually evaluate and range someone's joint. Both times, though, you're looking to increase that strength and really leave the hamstrings alone. Now, you can foam roll, you can do things like that, which should also help to increase the laxity. But I wouldn't necessarily go with a straight static stretch just yet. Get her, you know, hopefully she'll get more interest out of working out using the TRX. All that is good. Work on that hip extension strength, and then retest her in a month and see what happens. She may, just by the act of exercise, both through exercising through a range of motion and in strengthening, she may gain some range just through that. So I wouldn't worry too much just yet. Just get her in shape, and usually that takes care of a lot of problems. And the big answer is, if she's not in pain, then you can't say it's a problem. You can only kind of write it down and take note of it. But for now, she seems like she's still on the up and up. So you just deal with what she's got and teach her how to exercise appropriately, and she should be fine.
I love it, John.
Excellent.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to. Let's see. I like this question. We'll make this the last one, then we'll wrap it up. This is from Liz. Hey, Kevin and crew, can you help settle a dispute between my husband and me? Great, we're getting involved in marital issues now. He wants to take a multivitamin to supplement his diet. He has read in men's health magazines that brands such as Centrum, Men's One A Day, etc. are okay to take, but I've heard that with the brand sold in grocery stores like grocery stores and Walmart, you would have to take a handful of vitamins just to get the recommended daily percentage of nutrients it claims to have in one pill. Is it not better to invest in a higher quality and possibly higher priced brand that has no artificial coatings or colorings, or are the lower priced brands sufficient enough? Also, can you recommend a few brands you believe are good to take? Thank you for your help, and we will hold off buying any vitamins until your collective verdict is in. So we got to get them this answer. I think this is from like last month.
I can keep this pretty simple and short. In general, what you're looking for in multivitamins is max absorption. Speaking generally, multivitamins are an insurance cause. You try and get as much as you can from your food and from just general intake of your nutrition, and then supplement with the multivitamin in order to make sure that your bases are covered. One of the best things that you can do in general to figure out what it is that you might need extra of is to get tested by your doctor, just to do some simple blood work and see how your levels are and how you're doing in that area. And it's kind of a good idea to do that before you go out and get your multivitamins. It's something simple you can do, and you don't have to do it freakishly, but you know, you can wait until you have a checkup going on and be like, hey, you know, I want to see if where I live I have a tendency to be a little lower in D, or so on and so forth. And if you have a little bit lower immune system response, you can know to get a little bit more vitamin C, and so on and so forth. But as far as what kind of vitamins to choose, it is hit or miss based upon the company, because each company is different and the type of settings and the way they use to put it together is different. The ingredients they use is different. What I generally advise people to do if they're overly concerned with this and this is really taking it to the next level is you can always become a member to something called consumerlabs.com. And it gives ratings on different vitamin companies and supplement companies. It is independent researcher, so it's not backed by any sort of supplement company. They don't do checks for any one particular company. They do them for everybody. But because it's independently operated, it does not have a large finance base, so they can only test so much. You can also check through PubMed and studies. Generally, you can look at studies on absorption, and you can see which vitamins absorbs better with things that they've done in testing. So if you're looking for a vitamin because you have B12 issues or something, you can look up B12 absorption and even see what kind of vitamins absorb best. It's a little bit of a cheat way to get around it and figure out what vitamins seem to do best, but they usually use a lot of brand name vitamins in studies, and in the depths of the studies will show those things. But as far as do you have to pay more in order to get a better vitamin? Absolutely not. As we discussed before on the FitCast, like fish oil, for example, some of the best fish oil is a Costco brand, and you can get that very cheap. It just depends on the type of product and what you need. A good general guideline is to stay away from any vitamins that has extract, seed, or root listed in the ingredients of the vitamin. If you see that in your multi, you know that it's a flashy multivitamin, and there's really no place or need for flashy multivitamins. There's no need for anything that has some crazy licorice root seed extract or things like that. That stuff is hardly ever backed by good research and simply not necessary. Stick to the good solids, vitamin A, B, C, zinc, minerals, things like that. So it varies as to which vitamins that you want to use. As for vitamin recommendation, I have no affiliation with them whatsoever. I do not make any money for it, but generally I recommend Twin Lab vitamins. And I do so because they have tested well in independent studies. They're a good low cost, and they have options for those who need no iron, need iron, or have allergy issues. I personally take the Twin Lab allergy multivitamins. Because I have certain allergy issues, but they have two a days. They have one a days. The two a days can be pretty vicious on the stomach, especially in a deficit for some people. So you can think twice about that if you're going to order that. And I think that it's a pretty good company, and it's what I generally recommend. And it's I have no affiliation with them whatsoever. It's just based upon personal use and what I've researched. So I don't know if that answers your argument or fight, but that's. I think that's a good way to look at it. And don't get too high or caught up in large dosages. Absorption is different. And also try and always take your multivitamins with meals, because it absorbs with food better. And I'll try and end it there. I could talk about it for a while, but I'll try and end it there. So hopefully that answered the question.
Cool. All right. Well, done. That's where we're going to end it up. And this week on the podcast, again, everyone, thank you for listening this week. Quick heads up that for the off-topic discussion, again, it is pretty, there's lots of swear words and stuff, so I would not venture into there unless you want to.
Kevin loses his mind. Kevin goes nuts. He loses his mind. That's what you're about to hear. If you keep this rolling, he's going to lose his mind. It's amazing.
I don't know. I think we're going to, if you guys are cool at the same time, next week I should be all right. Even with PAX going on, I will, you know, make sure that we get a podcast out next week. I will be tired. I'm going to hand off most of the duties to John and Lee.
He said duty.
All right, maybe I should find an adult to host the show.
You know what's freaky? It kind of sucked today when, like,
can I wrap
I
it up
saw,
first, or can I wrap this up?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Please don't.
Shut up, John!
Shut up, John!
Shut up, John!
Oh, man, that's so sad. We lost Sean on the call. It must be his internet connection. So please don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe there. You can find us under the fitness and nutrition section. You can also pick up the podcast at thefitcast.com if you are not an iTunes person. And believe it or not, we're on the Zune marketplace. If you have one of those Zune devices, which I think are fantastic, definitely you can head over there and pick it up. And don't forget to make sure to continue to check out Lee's stuff at leepeel.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Larrabee. You can, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Kevin Larrabee. And Lee is at Lee Peel and slash Lee Peel, right?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Well, again, hope you guys enjoy the show this week. We're going to have a great, in-depth discussion for you next week. It's going to be a surprise. See you next time. All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion.
All right.
John and Lee. Everyone's here.
What's good, player?
Been watching some of that Scrubs Med School season 9.
Sucks, right?
No, it's actually pretty good. I just started watching because it's on Netflix now, and I think I'm like 6 episodes in, and it's pretty good. There's some Zach Braff and still Dr. Cox.
Is this like what? Is this a different character?
Well, there's like a new
like
an, it's
something?
Like the Saved by the Bell, the new class. Like there's a bunch of, there's like a new group, but there's still some
so
leftovers.
Like they have Mr. Belding and Screech, but they don't have everybody else.
Yeah, like Donald Faison, like Turk is still in it. Dr. Cox. Sometimes Elliot and JD show up since they're married now. That's about it. Carla, who plays like Turk's wife, she is not on the show. I haven't seen her.
Did you know that Mr. Belding parties in the Winston-Salem scene with hardcore rock kids?
I saw some stuff about him like a year ago.
Serious, he's a really interesting dude.
Or like underage girls or something like that? Or there was something like that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Screech did porn or something.
Yeah. Know all about that. But
I heard about that on when I watched that whole season of Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Totally did that.
It's kind of weird.
I like thinking so, sitting and watching Celebrity Fit Club, Kevin.
Just that season. I haven't watched like the newer ones because that was like him, Gary Busey, it was an all-star cast. Like it was really good. I can't remember anyone else, but they're like how they would all like sneak food like in the week, and then they would have to talk to that boot camp, that military guy, who would make them do stuff. It was cool.
Are we concerned about trying to outdo ourselves from the off-topic this week by any chance?
I'm not putting any pressure on myself. It's too high to try and meet those kind of expectations again.
I already had my spike today, so I had a couple of
And
items.
It shows. It shows.
Yeah, it really shows.
I had one yesterday, too, and I had no effect on me. I think I should just stop drinking them. I say that, but then I see it in my fridge, and I'm like, it's cold, it's orange, and it tastes good.
Kevin, I think it's been 2 years now you've been saying you're going to stop drinking the spike, and it doesn't
happen. Yeah, that's BS.
Shut up. I don't tell you guys how to live your life.
Dude, I'm just saying.
Just live your life. Hey. This is not going well. All right, I'm gonna introduce a couple topics. One, did you see the Paula Deen recipe for English peas that I posted on Facebook?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday on the
Shut Up, John. Shut up. No, we didn't. That we weren't recording at that point.
Well, we talked about it off the air, so that's
right. So the good listeners don't know that, Kevin.
I'm selfish, John. What can I say?
Oh my God, I love you, listeners. Thank you so much for supporting us. And then look how you just crap all over them.
They didn't send me a check last week.
Oh well, then okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
Then screw them.
Yeah, pretty much. And I did do the supplement. Lee did ask me off air how it went. I said. It makes this podcast look like the Library of Congress in terms of the I mean, it's amazing. Like, I mean, it's all over the place, that thing. I was trying to just hold on for dear life. It's incredible.
Well, I mean, I've had phone conversations with Roger, and even that in of itself ends up being a pretty rapid fire ADD session.
Right.
Back and forth with him.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine Kevin and him at the same time in the same room.
It's pretty, it's astounding. It was fun.
Well, I haven't heard it yet, so I need to hear both of them. Because there's going to be two now, right? There's two?
There's two.
Kevin, are you even paying attention, dude?
No, he's not. And
yeah,
you know what's
what do you want me to butt in while you guys are talking?
I hear clicking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm clicking on my computer stuff to make sure that the editing goes all right.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing? He's looking for Screech's porn. He's definitely looking for Screech's porn.
That's what he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, no, it was fun. You know what was funny? It was being a guest on the FitCast again. That was weird.
I guess you were a guest, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a guest.
I want to be a guest again.
I know, right?
You get treated nicer as a guest.
Oh, yeah. They totally listen to what you have to say. They think it's important.
Mm-hmm. And even like the listeners are like, oh, I want to have so-and-so on. They don't ever say, I want to have Lee Pill on.
Right.
They never say, I want to have John Fass on.
Most of the time they say, we want them off.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you're just used to us now. Okay, right. We no longer have an appeal.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm boycotting the show until I'm a guest again.
Good call.
Can I say something real quick? The one thing I just don't get in this world is
whoa! The one thing
the whole television networks when it comes to their programming. One example is The Event, a show that went off the air in November for its like mid season break, and it's coming back this fucking week. And they put a lot of money into the show, and then it goes off the air for 4 months. This is a serialized show, and they expect it to have just as good of ratings when it comes back than when it went off the air. And they did the same goddamn thing. NBC, which also owns Sci-Fi, does the same thing with Stargate. Like, Stargate takes a 4 or 5 month break in between like episode 10 and 11. And They wonder why their ratings go into the shitter. Like, it's unbelievable. And this whole thing that, you know, I talked about a while ago, Stargate Universe got canceled this year after they moved it from, it's very popular, it did really well in the Friday time slot, and then they moved it into a Tuesday time slot when it was going up against, like, first off, American Idol, like that NCIS criminal shit, and it just dies. Like, what do they expect? Like, you have to keep the show where it works, and you can't just put it out there to die. And that's why I feel like they did. And they, you know, I'm surprised that Scrubs even got like an eighth year, because they did the same thing. They tried to burn all the rest of the episodes by airing like two episodes of Scrubs a night. And it just boggles my mind. It's like, honestly, a friggin', you know, I don't want to say anything bad, but, you know, someone with a third of a brain and 14, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to leave it.
Wow.
And I just don't get it. Like, honestly, I don't even know what these old fucking farts are doing at these TV stations. They think they're making money. They just got NBC just got sold to Comcast, so now Comcast owns all this shit. Yeah, you know, FCC's totally cool with that. They're like, oh, yeah, that's no problem that we're going to allow Comcast to own one of the major broadcasting stations. Like, no fucking problem. And we have this going on with all the shit that goes on in our government. And we wonder why the world's so fucked up. Like, seriously. Let's just be real for 1 second.
War! And war!
The whole Charlie Sheen shit. And people don't... War! They're not even, like, you know, paying attention to what's going on with Gaddafi. Like,
anarchy.
There's people being... No, shut up, John. Shut the fuck up. There's people dying right now. And we're like playing new hour-long interviews with Charlie Sheen, and it's retarded. I'm sorry. At one point, it's like, well, I feel pretty fucking sorry for, you know, the people that are growing up right now, and they're growing up into a world that is just... Shit's going to hit the fan eventually. I mean, we can't keep it up. Deficit is just ridiculous. You know, people, we have far right and far left who are never going to get along. We have people that are going to military funerals and protesting. Like, I just don't get what is going on. But maybe we do need that asteroid to hit the Earth. I don't know. Maybe we just need it to stop. Like, when is this going to get any better? I don't know. It's because we're definitely not getting to that whole Star Trek bullshit where... We don't need money anymore, because that's the thing people are still fighting over. It's just fighting over money. It's everything from me not being able to watch Stargate next year, and they're not even going to wrap up the story. It ends on a cliffhanger this year, and they're just screwing an audience that watched 10 seasons of one show, 5 seasons of a spinoff, and then 2 seasons of a show that started off really slow, and they never really gave it a chance. God, I just don't get it. And that's why, you know, I start off, I didn't want to, like, go on this tirade, but, you know, if this is our outlet to say this shit, like, come on. Like, I'm so sick of our culture. Stop watching this. Like, that's why I said, you know, if anyone says winning this week on the show, I'm going to kick them off the show and we're not going to record.
Oh, my God, you just said winning.
Yeah, I don't care. It's my goddamn show, and I'm going to say that. I'm the one that edits it, posts it, and pays for the bandwidth, so.
Boom.
I don't know. What have you guys been up to this week?
So, yeah, Lee, being on the supplement, it's like, it's crazy because you're talking and they're just all over the place. And it's just like you're like, we had a subject, but it was just all over. But it was fun. It was fun. But being a guest, totally different experience. Like, they even introduced me as a guest. I was like, wow, I haven't been a guest on the FitCast in a long time.
Okay. So wait, I think that somewhere out there, a college student needs to do a thesis on the connection of the decline of the Stargate show
to
the eventual acceptance of global genocide to end our world's problems.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, I don't want it to sound like a joke. I honestly think, like, you know, this is absolute crap. And I don't know. I don't even want to get into politics on the show, but I seriously, what is going on? Like, disagreement is fine, but, you know, when I see the things that kind of go on these days, it really is, it's really sad. And I think people should take the time to... You know, as messed up as it is, and, you know, whatever you watch is going to be biased, I think you should take some time and watch the news or, you know, listen to NPR or whatnot and see what's actually going on in the world. Like, there's natural disasters that get no coverage because people want to hear about, how the Oscars was bad and how Charlie Sheen is a dumb piece of shit that should have no control over his children. He should not be able to see his children. Like, the guy is a complete fuck up. I mean, he makes $2 million an episode, but he's a complete jackass. And I don't know, like, I swear to God, this is not supposed to be funny. I just want to, you know, get it out there. And I don't know, it's just, it's the same thing in the fitness industry. You want me to bring it back to that? people in forums arguing about the dumbest shit.
I don't want you to stop at all.
People arguing about what's the best way to train and the best way to, you know, the best nutrition out there. Like, people just arguing over semantics. And if they're going to spend their time and do it, like, you know what? You could spend your time doing much more important things in life. You know, spend some time with your family. Walk your dog. You know, when was the last time you walked your dog? I walked my dog 3 times today. Yeah, that makes me better than you probably. But I also made the time to do it because I wasn't, you know, arguing with people or, you know, just watching something that I agree with just to, you know, have it to agree with me. I probably just pissed off a lot of people, but...
Do you get the feeling that we're going to... You know what's actually funny about this is that this is like the 180-degree different off topic than we had last week. We suddenly got into politics and walking the dog and Charlie Sheen, I think. And there ain't a damn thing funny about any of those topics.
No, but I'm thinking...
And the asshole who...
I just don't want Kevin to stop.
I don't either. I agreed with a guy to buy a Laserdisc player for $15 off Craigslist, and he fell through.
Right.
He said, no, hey, someone's giving me more money. What an asshole. He's like, oh, well, someone offered me $20. I'm like, you agreed to $15. I had plans to pick it up. Well, Come on.
Kevin.
How am I going to watch this Back to the Future trilogy on Laserdisc?
Kevin.
This really is the downfall.
I have something to tell you. I'm getting you a Laserdisc player. It's coming in the mail from eBay, so you can't buy yourself a Laserdisc player.
What?
Well, because you put up the thing for Back to the Future, and you did the little Blu-ray thing for me, and I have like a care package, and I got a Laserdisc player, and I got some other things, so you can't buy a Laserdisc player.
All right, the world's all right. Some... Things are back to
normal. Wow. Just like that.
Right. Electronics make them happy.
They do.
So calm down. I'm getting you a Laserdisc player. So screw the guy off at Craigslist.
And one more thing, in terms of technology, like I replaced a battery. I opened up a game and I replaced the battery that saves the game for my Zelda game. And even after I replaced it, like this is something that happens either way. But I was literally in Dungeon 9 and I like turned it off. And the next day, I turned it back on. My game is gone because of how finicky the NES games were when you turned them off. Like, geez, there goes 3 hours, just gone. And yeah, that's right. I can make it to the ninth dungeon in 3 hours because I'm that good.
Wow.
I know where everything is. I got all the heart containers.
I wish I knew what that is, but I'm just going to take it.
I don't know
really
either. God.
You
know what it is. Got to get Ganon.
Do you think that we're going to keep this off topic or Kevin's going to, like, after we stop recording, he's going to be like, crap, I shouldn't have said all that. And then we're just going to scrap the whole thing?
I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're keeping it because we have strict guidelines for recording these days.
Oh.
So it's
weren't we supposed to talk about that before the episode?
I thought that was in the outline of the pre-mailbag.
Yeah.
Talk about that next week.
So we're not even talking about this week.
Damn. Kevin is like...
It's just a lot of things pile up, John. And you don't...
Kevin
is
spiked out. He could trip a referee.
That's awesome. well, I'm uncomfortable.
Episode 207. Kevin is spiked out.
No, I didn't even drink one recently.
Oh my god. Did you realize that this is titled Episode 107 on the dock? Kevin, you missed 100 episodes.
Is it 107?
I just realized that. Yeah, it says
the
dock.
The first 100 that we did together never happened.
So sweet. I'm going to cry. I told myself I would have cried on the air.
It's just like, really? Like, am I wrong, though? Feel free to, you know,
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, to be honest with you.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm going to bite. How about this? I'll bite, and I'll be serious. I am actually annoyed by the Charlie Sheen thing, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm annoyed by it. And I'm annoyed by it because, one, I've known plenty of manic crackheads in my life, and they're in no way entertaining or funny. And it's just because that he is who he is that he gets away with the things that he does, and that it's the scene that it's become. And I get that it's funny for some people or entertaining on a certain level, but I think that there's a degree in which you really do, and this is if you're getting serious and you're not just having a good old jolly time with it, but it's the media stockpiling and enjoying the downfall of a human being. And that's kind of sick a little bit. There's something a little twisted about it in all honesty, and the advantage that he is taking of it and the back and forth of it. I think it's a little, you know, but I'm not losing any sleep over it. But when I see it, it annoys me. When I see it, it annoys me because I'm just like, really? Like,
the only thing that annoys me about it is there was a very good article in the New York Times that talked about the fact that, let's not forget that he's, you know, an alleged spouse abuser.
I honestly forgot about all that.
Then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He is kind of a bit of a sociopath. So with that in mind, then it's not, I don't think it's as fun. You know what I mean? Like, but there's a reason why Jersey Shore is like the highest rated show on MTV, and why people just enjoy watching this crap. Dude, we make fun of the Jersey Shore all the time. It's funny.
Yeah,
so I think
there's a stark difference between drug abuse and violence and mania.
Yeah, but all that's been on the Jersey Shore.
Young kids in Jersey partying, and someone with an actual family who, you know, has allegedly hit multiple women and has five kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a big
involved.
Difference.
I think that, in my opinion, there's a stark difference between Jersey Shore.
There is a stark difference, but you can see the thread. This is why people like this. You know, if they like,
you're saying that Jersey Shore is the gateway to Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, but no, it's the same logical approach. You know, you see them do outrageous things, and you see Charlie Sheen do outrageous things, and you see other things. But I agree with you. There's a huge difference, but we forget that difference.
Sure,
that's the point. I agree
that there's a degree of Jersey that's a gateway drug to the Charlie Sheen phenomenon. I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Jersey's a gateway drug to everything.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying that I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it, and I'm not gonna really. You know, but if you ask me, do I find it funny? No, I don't find it funny. I don't really care.
Now, what I think the downfall of society is Paula Deen's recipe for English peas on the foodnetwork.com.
I'm going to tell you something. As a Southern woman who has seen those peas served in households, that recipe is dead on.
Yeah, the recipe is dead on.
No, the comments are just amazing.
Comments are amazing, but that one comment, did you see, like, when I posted it up on Facebook, I said, like, you know, put your favorite comments. But my favorite comment on that one, did you read that? I thought this was the funniest thing that I'd read on that entire thing, and I read almost all of it. Someone wrote, let me find it. They go, for our neighborhood block party, I put the peas on bamboo skewers and grilled them outside, then served the melted butter in individual ramekins as a dipping sauce. What a treat. My neighbors are still talking about it. It's incredible. For all you folks scratching your head, just go to my Facebook.
It's worth reading.
It's worth it. Friend me. I need the friends.
All right.
Wow.
PAX is this weekend.
What's that? PAX?
PAX is this weekend.
You're excited?
Yeah.
Penny Arcade Expo.
I'm almost more excited just to, you know, hang out with the guys and
see how a new
Dreamcast and the N64 hooked up. We got to get some Street Fighter going on the arcade machine. And I don't know. It's going to get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna get crazy.
So wait, are you guys staying? Are you staying in like a hotel there?
I'm staying in my apartment.
So you're all staying. Okay, so you're all staying.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, take care of the dog.
And there's gonna be arcade fest in the apartment.
But
arcade fest at PAX.
But I was going to say, what if you've got a bunch of guys staying over your apartment? What if you meet some hot chicks at the Penny Arcade Expo?
I get a big apartment, John.
In bunk beds.
So you're planning on meeting some hot chicks
multiple
at the Penny
Arcade?
Multiple
dog beds.
At the Penny Arcade Expo?
There's like, I think it's like a 25 to 1 guy to girl ratio. But I was going to say, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I did have a girl come up to me last year and try to, you know, she did a little pickup line. She said, oh, wait, you got to tell me, where'd you get that shirt? You got to tell me.
I remember that. The extra medium.
Yeah, dude. That's a tight shirt.
Oh, crap. I do remember that.
I did some curls before I went that day.
Yeah. Do some push-ups.
Well, I can't imagine there's a lot of muscles at that event.
Right.
No, I was like, you know, I was like, hot shit.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Because A, my hair didn't go past my shoulders.
Okay.
B, I showered that day.
No, wait, hold on. All the hair, or is it just, you know, business in the front, party in the back?
There's like, well, the thing is, they do like, I mean, I don't want to stereotype gamers. I'll be the first person to defend them, but
let's play.
There is D&D tables,
right?
You know, there are board games that don't include, you know, chutes and ladders. Oh. It's like serious
Risk.
Oh my god!
Not Risk. It's more hardcore. It's like 8-sided dies and.
Oh my god, Lee! Now I totally understand his tirade. He was just practicing for sitting at the chutes and ladders table and having some in-depth political discussion with the boys.
Okay.
Well, that was
the real question. Is Kevin? Do you LARP?
I don't even know what that means.
Okay. Don't act. Like
I've heard it, but I don't know what it means.
You don't know.
I know what it is.
Does that mean like playing online games?
It's live action role playing.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I would.
A lot of PAX people do that stuff. And,
right.
I'm just curious.
No.
So you're kind of like the Anthony Michael Hall of 16 Candles at a PAX event.
I haven't seen that movie, but yes.
Whoa.
You gotta keep in mind I'm 25.
Okay. Okay.
Whoa.
You've got to see all of them.
I've seen The Breakfast Club. I've seen some John Hughes. Don't get me wrong. I'm cultured.
But it's 16 Candles.
I don't like the redhead. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. Specifically because of
Breakfast Club.
Left a foul taste in your mouth, did it?
And I think they stereotyped her a little bit. You know, the rich girl.
They were all stereotypes.
Of course.
Yes. Just
out of the place.
No, I mean typecast. I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe it's just because there was this redhead girl in like fourth grade who I thought was a huge bitch. And she was like Little Miss
so now
Perfect.
Now we're hating on the gingers, huh?
Yeah.
Kicking the gingers is what that's what you're doing, Kevin?
I didn't say gingers. That is a derogatory term.
I had a ginger that lived up the block. I had a crush on her.
Jesus Christ, John.
Yeah, she was like, I think she moved when we were like maybe 12 or something.
It's always an interesting situation.
I'm looking her up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Nope, not there. I don't know how to spell her damn name, so.
All right, so that's it for the off topic. That's 26 minutes and 56 seconds. Hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, God.